Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Okay, Bub, there we are. Good morning. How are we doing today, man?
Doing pretty good so far. How about yourself?
It's Saturday morning, Bub. You've had your hands full with a slew of things that have been going on this morning around the scenes. You've done a great job administratively, and I want to thank you in front of the world for taking care of it while I took care of some other things.
Well, that's what I do best.
That's what you do best. That's right, Bub. Absolutely. And that's what I do best, destroy the show, right?
You know.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Doing It Bubba Style, the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast as heard around the world by about 20 million people. We're picking up 6,000 to 7,000 new people today. But we've got a big show today. A lot of things going on. A lot of information we're going to share with you. This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Make sure you visit us for all of our online parts and apparel and American Chopper, Orange County Choppers. Bub, the Tuttles are in town. We're going to be talking about them. But this episode is brought to you by orangecountychoppers.com. Good morning, Bub.
Good morning.
How are we doing today?
Pretty good, man. Just working away already.
It's Saturday in sunny South Florida, man. Beautiful day out there. I appreciate you giving me a moment. I needed to get the car cleaned up, so I ran out there and did it. This is, of course, the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports 981 Cayman Porsche that I backed into another car about 6 weeks ago, and we just now got that repaired. You fixed that for me, and I'm going to drive it for the first time since then.
Yeah.
How about that?
Which means it's probably going to get wrecked again.
No, it's definitely not. We're going to take care of
that. If it does, bro, send it to someone else. I'm telling you.
Yeah. How about that, man?
Yeah.
That was just kind of one of those freak things.
No, it was not.
No?
No.
Kind of hard to see out of the back of that car because it's so tight.
You don't. You got to turn around.
There's no backup camera in that.
You got to turn around when you're using that car.
Yeah. Like Poltergeist, right?
No, you just have to turn around. Like the same thing as a Lamborghini, any of the rear engine cars, you got to turn around and look. They're long.
Code 504R. S10 conversions done Bubba style. We're going to be talking a little bit about that today, Bub. Big show on it, man. I don't know. Did you watch Facebook last night? The number of people were watching you do that build, Bub?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's funny too, because we had a lot of people out there that they were probably, it's crazy because, you know, it's, you know, all you get out of people in today's world is negative, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's a shame that that's the way it is, but that's just the reality of it. You get, you know, 90% of people out there always have a negative comment to say, not like, oh, you know, sweet, looks awesome. You get people out there saying nonsense, people out there just, you know, just all kinds of crap, right?
Sure.
So, you know, we had a couple people that had actually written in about that because of
ton of people,
the
man.
Angle. Yeah, no, I'm saying because of the angle of the way our camera shoots, it's 170 degree wide angle lens, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when we shoot these things, depending on a tapered angle, you're going to get different visual effects,
that's
right?
Correct.
Whether it's on the far left or the far right of the page. That to me in today's world is basic common sense when you look at like social media related things. There are filters on every app on every phone that also emulate that same thing. But we had a lot of people that were like, oh, well, it doesn't look like the install is done properly. The rear wheel looks too far forward. Well, guys, chill out a little bit. Don't just jump for the first negative
thing. Look at
thing.
The front wheel.
All you have to do is step back. You can look at it from the dead on side shot. It's perfectly centered. That's kind of key.
And first of all, Bub, being one of the top three in the world today, you don't build things that don't line up properly. And it was the one thing we kept talking about, the key element that we kept talking about and talking about and talking about, how you have to make sure that everything is 110% correct.
Yeah.
And it just, it blew my mind. Did you see the one gentleman that posted out there? And I basically told him, keep your negative comments to yourself. You know, he said, all they do is talk about themselves. Hey, bro, I got a right to talk about myself. I'm sitting here. You're on the other side watching. Just remember that, okay? When you can reach this young man's level of excellence and perfection, you can talk about whatever you want. In fact, get your own show and talk about what you want. But your negative comments are not welcome on my page, and that's what I told you last night, okay? We're good at what we do, and we're proud at what we're doing, okay? And I don't know if I don't have any qualms with sharing that to the world and letting the world know how good we are. And if you took 5 minutes and watched the show, you'd know that it was 90% technical, and I don't even need to explain it to you. If you got to be negative, stay off my page, period. There was Jack out there, Bub. I talked to him as well. He's been watching the conversion. In fact, I spoke with him late last night and early up this morning at 5:30. He and his son have been doing one of these conversions, mm-hmm. literally in the driveway. I asked Jack if he could please call in today, but I want to watch the switchboard very carefully. I got a call from my very good friend, Joni and Paul Tuttle, last night. They were boarding an airplane up in Newburgh, New York, Bub. They headed down this way to go to Palm Beach Harley Davidson, Bub, for the charity ride for the children that were shot at the Parkland High School.
Yeah.
That's a big event, man. And this tells you who the Tuttles are as people. They dropped everything they were doing and are headed down this way. They're going to ride to Coral Gables. How far a ride is that, Bob? How many hours is that?
A little over an hour, probably.
A little over an hour. Okay, yeah. So they're going to ride down. There's going to be a big to-do there.
Mm.
Then they'll be having a family dinner here locally tomorrow. And if they choose to call in, they can. But everybody can see at Palm Beach Harley-Davidson on 45th Street here in the Palm Beaches. The Tuttles will be there at 10 o'clock live, Bub. So if Joni and crew call in or Paul Sr. comes in, I'll stop the show and we'll take their call for sure. We're also going to hear from Mackenzie and Chris over there, Code 504, Bub. Yesterday we did the wrap up on the bill, but I was going to tell you, Jack and his son are building one of these in the driveway, and mm-hmm. they were asking questions last night. I think his son is in Washington and he's in Georgia, and they're trying to file their son up on this vehicle. I really wanted him to call in because you talked about yesterday the technical side of the tooling you needed
mm-hmm.
and how you had to have the lift and everything to get things lined up. So I wanted to hear from Jack and his perspective because a million things were going through my mind about whether that truck will be straight when it's done.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, when you're doing any sort of these installs, man, it's, you got to make sure that you're just taking the time, and there's not enough people out there that will move slow through the process. They'd rather just kind of hurry and rush to the end. Yes. And try to see what the end result is. You know, when at the end of it, if you do rush, that is what, you know, that's going to be what you're going to get.
Get, man.
And, you know, I was looking this morning, you know, we've got one of these, it's just a straight up track truck. It's a Chevrolet S10. That's
going
to be
that.
Pretty serious. And,
yep.
You know, one of the problems that this thing has is it can't plant the horsepower to the ground. Well, granted, it's a Chevrolet S10 pickup truck, super lightweight. It doesn't take much more than 350, 400 horsepower out of those things to make them just spin all over the road. Leaf spring style suspension in the rear. You know, so it's hard to plant that power. And, you know, I'm looking at, you know, the suspension that's already been installed on there, Caltrac setup, pretty decent setup. It's not a full tub. It's just kind of upgraded versions of what's available to bolt on in place of the stock stuff, you know, the leaf springs, the shocks. So it can plant some power. It's actually been tested on Caltrac suspensions up to 9 seconds in the quarter mile on over 1200 horsepower. That's what Caltrac's tested those setups on. So it can plant the power. You just have to, again, install it properly. And that's key in anything that you do, is take the time, read the instructions. In a situation like this, if you're having trouble with something that should be doing a certain job and it's not, it's probably not installed properly, which is very simple. You have to set preloads, you have to align everything, and then you can plant that power. It's been proven and tested.
It's funny too, Bob, that belongs to one of your celebrity players. He is an NFL player. He's a Hall of Famer. He brought it in yesterday. We didn't even know. He just showed up with it, with his dually. He's got a big Ford dually you did for him. Huge fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
If people are familiar with the gentleman that stands up and reels in a fish after he does another menacing tackle, you'll know exactly who this gentleman is. And he brought it in, Bob. And I told him you had already left for the gym. I worked a little bit late last night because you had been putting in some hours here, and I stayed late to take care of some things. And I was talking to him about it's got a 408 in it. You could smell the fuel, and it wasn't running, and this, that, and the other starter wasn't. And I said here to the owner, and he wants to turn this into a race team. I said, I can tell you exactly what Bob's going to tell you. Twin turbos on this thing, get rid of the twin shot of nitrous. And he thought that the nitrous, Bob, was the way to go versus the turbos today.
Yeah.
And he couldn't understand why the starter wouldn't work after they got one pass out of it and the header sitting right on top of the starter.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's a lot, again, that you have to take into consideration anytime you're doing anything in this industry, you know, whether, you know, you got to start at your first step, which is know what your end goal is. And, you know, that's the biggest thing that not too many people are clear on. You know, sometimes guys will want to build something that's more looks than it is function. Maybe it's more function than it is looks. Maybe it's more power than it is reliability. You know, there's a lot of people out there that just do one thing, and you have to know what your end goal is and try to incorporate all of it into one to have something that's going to be not only look good, but also be fully functional and reliable all at the same time. That's key.
Bub, now one of the things that let's go back to the tire situation there. It was the camera angle, and I responded to everybody. It was a camera angle. For those who mm-hmm. don't know what I'm referring to, by the way, I'm going to open the switchboards up today. 714, everybody. 714-242-5166. 714-242-5166. We will have Mackenzie and Chris join us live at 9:20 a.m. Top of, going towards the bottom of the hour, Bub. We're going to talk about the technical, very technical side of the build there that you experience there. So, Bub, when we go back to that people commenting and saying the wheel doesn't look like it was centered, although it was centered. I took a couple dead on shots and it was centered. I guess they didn't hear the part, Bob, where even when the truck was hit and whacked, you took the time to straighten everything out so that it was perfect. These are some of the things you encounter in these bills. Let's talk a little bit about those small hidden agendas.
Yeah, man, it's, you know, you're working with something that is, you know, we discussed it yesterday on our show. It's, you know, it's a 1953, so this thing's 60 plus years old.
64, yeah. 64.
You know, you've got to imagine there's a lot of history with that. And there's a lot of people out there that think that, you know, just because something has faded paint on it, or, you know, it looks like the upholstery is original, or, you know, it's torn and worn and, you know, tarnished. It's a lot of people immediately come up with this idea of this thing's a true survivor and it's a numbers matching this and that. And it's probably not, bro. Like, so by the time you start getting into this thing, you know, it's very rare that you find a true like survivor car that is all numbers matching, never been modified, never been altered, never been. That's why these things are like, they're hidden gems when you find them, because they are true. Like when you find something that's never once had paint put to it or never once had any sort of upgrade done to it, those are totally different stories. But in a case like this guy thought that this truck was all original. No chance it was. It's been repainted. There was just freaking chicken mesh wire all over this thing. There was Bondo caked on everywhere. You know, once you started lifting the bed off, the cab off, you could start seeing all of it. You know, and that's what we actually found out getting into that process, was putting everything together once the S10 conversion was done, the brackets and everything were installed, you know, and allowed us to drop that 47 to 54 cab and bed down on there. Once you get to that step, you start seeing that all the brackets start lining up in place exactly how they should, but then you've got one out of all of them that don't line up worth a crap. And then you start investigating deeper. You can see it's been hit, it's been cut, it's been welded, it's been ground on, it's been, you know, bondoed and filled. So it's just an absolute mess. And that's what you get into, you know, 70% of the time when you're working with older cars.
It really is. Good morning to Anthony. I'm not going to release his last name. Anthony is one of the BEM family members. Their family, we have two of his brother's vehicles in here. Anthony is a very, his whole family is a staple of.
Which, by the way, we might need to get Anthony's in here too, from the story I just heard.
Did you really? Mm-hmm. But Anthony says, good morning to everybody around the world, Chevy trucks. I don't speak Chevy, only four, laughing aloud. Kill it, fellas. They are, this particular family, this is a big, heavy hitting powerhouse family, Bub. They're real estate development gurus here in the South Florida area. They're a force to be reckoned with, and they're just good people. They're just good, solid people, man. So good morning, Anthony. Chris Peck is watching with us as well. Good morning, brothers. He says good morning to you, Chris, as well. How is everything your way? I think Chris is in West Virginia, right, Bub?
Yeah.
Switchboard is open, ladies and gentlemen, 714-242-5166. We may be getting a call from Paul Sr., who is in town. My very good friend, Paul Sr., they're in town for the charity ride today from Palm Beach Harley-Davidson. Last bike out is 10 a.m., Bob, over there for the shooting victims of the Parkland High School.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was very kind of him to get on an airplane with Joni last night and fly down here. And I mean, they flew, ladies and gentlemen, they're just everyday people. They don't have charter jets or anything like that. They have the new series coming out Thursday nights, May 28th, I think Bob said, right?
Yep, 10 p.m.
10 p.m. They have the new show starting then, but they're just humble people. They got on JetBlue and flew down just to lead this ride out, Bub. And that was really cool of them, man.
Yeah, really good.
We're going to KTM after this, Bub, so we didn't have a chance to make that ride. So anyways, Chris, give us a call, man. 714-242-5166. Be glad to talk to you. We're going to be talking to McKenzie Woodward and Chris over there at Code 504. We're going to be talking about some of the wrap-up details of the BEM Code 504 S10 conversion. It was a really, really, really good time. Chris Peck says, things are great here. It's still probably a little bit cold, though, over there, isn't it, man?
Probably, yeah.
I think, Bub?
Yeah.
Wow. Bub, we got a big announcement. We're going to talk about the new show coming in right about the bottom of the hour, 9:30 a.m. So, Bub, this S10 comes in last night from when your celebrity players, and he wants you to turn this into a race truck. And one of the things that you said, Dad, is when you meet with him, let him know that racing is not cheap.
No,
even if you bring your sponsors in, Bub, and he does a celebrity endorsement, there's still going to be some very hidden variables that's going to cost it to be expensive. Correct, Bub?
Yeah, it's racing is a totally different sport, man. And there's not a lot of people that understand, you know, truly how much money goes into racing. You know, more so than most of this hobby, because it is as simple as it seems. You know, for you know, a lot of people look at it on a basic level. They, you know, looking at running in a straight line for a quarter mile for typically 10-15 seconds or less, You know, I went all the way up to 15 there because there's some slow guys out.
He said he wanted to get that truck down in the sevens. Is that possible?
Come on, bro. No chance with that setup.
No, not with the setup, yeah. But once you got done with it, could you take that platform?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, but it's way out from now. I mean, there's no way that thing's going to push anything lower than an 11 right now.
You should have heard me trying to talk cool yesterday with
him. No chance.
Yeah, no, so, I was trying to be you.
Yeah.
He said, listen to you, Pops. You sound just like Bub.
Come on.
I said, when you tell Bub the information I gave you, he's going to come in and slug me in the nose.
No. Yeah, I know. There's no reason to even, we're already outside of where we should be with you. So, you know, racing is, you know, just basic factors, bro. So you're looking at to run a motor down the track, right? So let's just start off with your average track day. You're going to go, you're going to be a racer. You've got a tech inspection you've got to do to have your vehicle inspected
see
if it'll run down the strip.
You're authorized to do.
You've got that cost there. So you've got that. You've got your racing costs. You've got, you know, right out of the gate, depending on how much fuel you plan on running, how long you plan on running throughout the day, typically looking at $10-$15 a gallon, depending on your fuel type. Of your race fuels, you know, I'm up there in the, 120 octanes with the stuff that I build. So it's, you're looking at almost 15 a gallon. So, I mean, you could dump $200-$300 before you even thought about starting your vehicle and pulling it up to the line.
Sure, bud.
Plus a, full day's worth of passes, you're going to destroy a set of tires. If you're really laying down some stupid horsepower, so you're going to go through a set of tires. So now you're looking at about $1,000 you've spent just in one day alone. Some people do that just to tune, literally just go out and tune
That's
their vehicle just to get it spot on. So racing's a really expensive event, man. And it's, you're rolling the dice every time, no matter what you're building, because it's a beating that you're putting on whatever your platform is.
Yep.
It's on the drivetrain. It's on, the transmission, the motor, it's all just very high stress. It's worth it. It's a lot of fun. But it's a big, it's just a big, deep money hole. That's what it is.
It is. Good morning to Stacey Horgan out there. She was running last night. Bub, Black is back. She knows what I'm talking about there. Going out and doing that 5-star thing last night. Good morning, Stacey. Thank you for being part of the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports family. Bub, one of the things that you were talking about is the expense of the racing. What about the motor, Bub? This particular motor has a carburetor sitting on top of it. I can see the accelerator pump housing is leaking. It's got a twin shot of NOS on it. Nitrous oxide, I'm sorry. Just old standards, old technologies by anybody's book, man.
I mean,
cheap build.
It's an S10. It's a fun setup. It's going to produce some good power. It's a 408. That thing, if it's built right internally, should be providing about 1 horse, maybe 1.25 horsepower per cubic inch. So it could be 450, 475, almost 500 horsepower just coming out of the motor itself. So that's in an S10, two-wheel drive, short bed, short cab pickup. That's a lot of power to try to lay down to the ground on a basic setup.
How do you stick that down there? And that's what I was trying to explain to the owner last night. How do you stick that down there?
You're limited to what you're working with. On the standard setup, it's just leaf springs and shocks in the rear, and that's it, man. So it's, you're running on average a 9. You can actually get a 1050 tire on the back of those things and squeeze them up under there, with no scrubbing and, still setting the stance pretty low on them if you wanted to. But, the more meat you can get on the ground, the better it's going to be. You've got no weight in the rear end, so you kind of want to center it out and get some weight back there. Maybe centering up the fuel cell and putting it in the rear right over the axle. Maybe, relocating the battery to the back. Getting some weight to plant over that rear end is going to be key. And then just having your powertrain up front, motor, transmission, dead center.
Right on, man. We're going to talk about that too. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you, especially our listeners down here in the Jupiter area, South Florida area, Palm Beach Harley Davidson, Paul Sr. From the iconic Paul Sr. from the American Chopper show. American Chopper goes back on the air, Bub, Thursday nights, 10 o'clock, May 28th. They called us on the way to the airport. They are going to be doing the lead of the Parkland ride. You can meet Paul Sr. and his beautiful bride, Joni, there at the Palm Beach Harley-Davidson. They're there. And I would suspect they're there probably in the next half hour if they're not there already. Next 15 minutes if they're not there already. Although seniors like me, he's as late as it can be. And I talked to him in the car. They were just getting ready to board the airplane. JetBlue, man, they just flew commercial airlines. They're not ostentatious people. That's why they're very close to us. But if you go to Palm Beach Harley Davidson, the iconic legendary Paul Sr. is right there, man. You guys will see him right there live. Good, good guy, man. Meet him in person. Talk to him, you know, off the record. Mikey and all the crew, man. I mean, just super, super, super good people. But let's move back into the race truck now that you're going to be setting up. One of the things that I noticed, the inner fender walls were done. Somebody had tried to do a firewall delete. In other words, take everything off the firewall. They also pulled the power off the brake booster. Why?
So probably in this case, it's... You know, typically when you're doing stuff like that, it's either because one, your motor doesn't provide enough vacuum, depending on the size of the setup and the valve train, the camshaft, the way, you know, way the motor flows. So it's probably not providing enough. And then, you know, let's face it, bro, when you're building a track vehicle, it's not like you're out there looking for power steering, power brakes, power windows, air conditioning. You're trying to get as much power, as lightweight, and as much speed and time as you can. I mean, that's really essentially what you're going for. But in a case like this, Is it done the direction that I would go? No. I mean, if you're trying to build something that's, again, not just for looks or not just for function, but also reliable and safe, to me, I would have pulled that entire setup off the firewall, get rid of the power booster assembly. Don't just unplug it and leave it, you know, 50% there. Remove it. If you want to go to from a power to a manual brake, maybe go to a Wilwood disc brake kit front and rear, and then do like a Wilwood matching, you know, master cylinder assembly, something that creates enough pressure, enough flow that's going to stop that truck at high speeds like that.
That's it's
not just, you know, disconnect the vacuum hose and kind of roll.
That's
it.
That's what somebody did. It's a very cheap bill. Morning, Angie Lee. Good morning, Angie. How are you and your beautiful husband, my stepson, Nate? I wish you guys were here in the Palm Beaches today. My good friend, Paul Sr. is at Palm Beach Harley Davidson today. I got the call when they got on the airplane last night. Bub, we're going to be making a big announcement here shortly about the new show. So I want everybody to stay tuned as we get into the bottom of the hour. Bub's going to make a huge announcement. It's kept us very, very busy over the last 8 weeks. Who's out there, Bub?
Nothing. You just keep telling me I'm going to make a huge announcement. I have no idea what it is.
Oh, you don't?
I have no paper in front of me, no notes. I have no idea what you want me to say.
Here's paper. Put that in front of you.
There's nothing on it.
Oh, you want me to write on it?
Yeah, write down exactly what it is you want me to tell everyone.
Okay, hold on 1 second. I'm going to write it for you. Ready?
Here it comes.
Ready?
There's no chance this is going to be what he wants me to say.
Hold on a second. Here you go.
Stop, dude. Just put it down.
Show everybody. Show them what you got.
This is what I deal with here. I don't know if you guys can read this, but it definitely says huge announcement. So that's what I'm going to read off to everyone.
Chris Beck is laughing his ass off up in West Virginia. Dang Chris, wait, Bub knows what he's talking about. He's got it all going on.
Zero idea, by the way.
Yeah, he does. He signed the contract. He's been a bit busy, 8 weeks, Bub?
I signed like 12 in the past week. I don't even look at him anymore. I just sign and push.
One of them is for me to get 67% of your money and put it in my bank account.
Yeah, you do that anyways.
Do I?
Yeah.
Lucky man, aren't I?
Yeah, I know.
How about that?
It just goes into your collision repairs.
It's all parts related, isn't it?
Yep, all of it.
How far do you think I'll get the BEM 981 Cayman this morning?
I don't know, man. Do you have to get gas?
Yeah, I actually do. I got to run.
Not too far. You're probably going to go all the way down this yellow pole that's right next to the pump.
I may. I've got to do that and run to Wells Fargo before.
And then tell me something about the fact that the pole jumped out in front of you or something like that. Some nonsense like that. Or some guy was turning and making a U-turn. There's some girl in a minivan that was texting on her phone. You're going to come up with some fantastic story of why you sideswiped the gas pump.
You're usually there with me, so you get to see what happens, man.
I know.
Have
that's
you seen
why
the front
I can't.
Of a Jaguar?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I know every story of it, too.
Oh, you do?
And you continue to blame everyone else.
Oh. I don't know what to tell you guys out there, man. 714-242-5166. Hey, Bub. So, anyways, we're going to turn our attention back to, because we're going to jump into our other segment with Code 504 here in just a couple minutes. Bub, let's move back into when the racing setup, when you get into racing, mm-hmm. there are a lot of hidden costs as well. Tires. One of the things you said is, Dad, it's still running the stock control, upper and lower control arms on that thing. We can't run that. And I told this client that yesterday. That's one of the things Bub's going to want to do is strengthen that front end, but pull some of that weight back as well.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, too, because a lot of people think it's all about planting the power to the ground, where, yes, that's probably 80% of it. But you also have a very big percentage of, drag-related vehicles also comes from your front suspension, and not many people understand that. You know, it's all about weight transfer. It's all about how far your arms are going to extend in the front end, how much travel you're going to have. All of that comes into consideration, and not many people understand it.
And that's just, you know, knowing your, again, your end goal. You got to know exactly what you're going for. You've got to, some people are, you know, doing it on a budget. Some people are just dumping money left and right. And the racing sport is that, I mean, when you're, let's just throw it out there. Like if you want to do this S10 upright and you want to try to lay down 600, 700, 800 horsepower to the tires, you want to try to plant it. There's going to only be one way to do that. And that's get as much tire on the back of the thing as you can. A lot of people are going to just, you know, what's the number one thing you could do? You cut off the rear end of the truck and you back half it and you put it in a complete, I mean, fortunately there's companies out there that now sell complete back half kits for these things. You cut it off right behind the cab, you jig it all up and you weld on a complete direct fit rear frame and you just drop the bed back down on it. And you can run like a 31.5 by 18.5 inch wide tire on it. So you can plant that power almost double your, you know, the power you're putting down to the ground right away.
Bubs, Chris Peck says Bubs has short arms in front of him. LOL. Chris,
like a T-Rex, baby.
Exactly. Is that like this?
Yeah, just like that. So it's
actually his arms are very long and very powerful. His biceps, Chris, are 21 inches in diameter. So you'll know.
So, you know, when you get into the racing side of it, right? Like this is a Chevrolet S10. Let's be real here. The truck might be worth, if you were to be a retard and go Kelly Blue Book it, maybe $1,200 to $1,500 on a good day. When you get into the racing sport, like I just mentioned, that back half kit, you're probably going to be $2,000 for a back half frame rails and ladder bar setup, plus coilovers, figure another 500. So 2,500 plus you're going to be wheels and tires, another 1,500, 2,000. So five, maybe plus the install, plus, you know, your center section, your axle housing, your brake kit, you're probably going to be $12,000 to $15,000 into a back half of an S10 just to get it to plant that kind of power. Now you look at that and then immediately weigh out what's the truck worth, right? So racing is a huge loss. You're not going to find another guy that's going to pay you. If you went and put $20,000 into that setup tomorrow, you're not going to be able to even find a guy that would pay, you know, pay $12,000 the next day. Done, perfect, never even been touched or raced down the track. That's just the way it is. Racing is like a personal desire. It's just a giant money pit. The only way you're going to recover that kind of money is by either winning from it, betting on it, and that's where it gets fun.
Interesting.
That's it. That's the only way you'll recover money out of racing, especially if you're a true racer and you really put your all into it and put it all into your ride.
Chris says, I know, he's a stud muffin. But we are going to have this particular celebrity NFL player, Hall of Famer, in to talk with us. I think we're meeting with him Monday to discuss the race team build and put together. The vehicles are here for you to build currently. You're going to go right into production with them, and they'll coincide with a couple new things that we're doing. So in that segment here, I want to welcome Mackenzie from Code 405. Mackenzie, are you with us here?
Code 504.
Code 504. Yeah. Good morning, Mackenzie. Are you with us here from Code 504?
Good morning. Yeah, Chris and I are here with you.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey,
how are
up?
You today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Right on, man. So let's jump into this segment here. I'm going to keep a watchful eye out. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are in the South Florida area, Paul Sr., Joni, his wife, they're both at Palm Beach Harley-Davidson. He called me last night and said we're in town. We're definitely going to be seeing our good friends, Bub. Anything can get broken at that point. You know what happens when Sr. and I are together. We talked about that on the phone. He is at Palm Beach Harley-Davidson. He is being charitable, as he always is, and they are leading the ride from Palm Beach Harley-Davidson to Parkland, where the shooting happened, where the 17 innocent children were killed. Bub,
yep.
Arm those teachers, buddy. Arm the teachers, ladies and gentlemen. So, Bub, we're going to jump into the Code 504 build. Yesterday, we did the final segment of it, and we gave it a grade. You chose, you are very conservative about your grading scale from 1 to 10. Mm-hmm. Your final number was 8.5 to 9.
Yeah.
A solid 8.5 to 9. Tell everybody around the world, why did you pick that number on this particular build, especially as much as you had to do to get the truck true? Not the frame, not the product, but the truck.
Yeah, you know, I gave it that from an overall in terms of, you know, the quality of the product that you get. You know, I've talked about it a couple times before. You know, when you're working with stuff in this industry, man, you're working with, it doesn't matter if it's for, you know, older vehicles, for newer vehicles, for cars, trucks, bikes, you know, lifted, lowered, vintage, exotics. It doesn't matter what it is you're working with. Quality to me is everything. And, we've even had, I mean, let's face it, bro. I mean, some of like the Lamborghinis we've done, you're buying an exhaust system for $18,000 for a cat back exhaust system that's titanium and polished. where that's more than most people will put into their entire car, right? Just for a single bolt-on muffler, which is stupid. It's absolutely stupid for that. But to me, it is all about quality. What is that fitment? You know, is it, if that fitment to me is 100%, then it was worth every freaking penny you put into it, even if you paid three times more than you should have. That's how I look at things.
So, Chris McKenzie, let's start this particular segment by saying you're dealing with Bub, who is considered in the top three of the world today in terms of design, building, and fabrication, execution. How does it feel to you as a provider of products to have an 8.5 or 9 B bestowed? And if you go back and look at our 2 years of this show, how does it feel to receive an 8.5 or 9, which has never been given to a product before by him?
I mean, we're pretty proud of that. Considering Bub is one of the top three in the world. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, Tom. He doesn't give those grades lightly. I mean, he goes through the products he reviews from what I'm seeing and really dives down deep into the technicality of them, into the fitment. And it sounds like, you know, that 504 conversion kit really, I feel like, lived up to his standards.
So how do you feel about that, Bub?
Yeah, you know, it's you know that I'm a super quality builder in terms of, you know, not only my design style, my build style, but also just the components that I use. And you know, there have been times, honestly, in the past where I've gone into a design with full intent to do something start to finish, and I've used certain quality products, and I've literally just gotten 80% of the way through, and I've just said, you know what, can it, dude? Like,
you
the
have.
Quality sucks.
I've watched you say that.
You know, and I've taken stuff off that I may be 100 hours into, and I've just thrown it away.
You
like,
have.
Sorry, I'm moving on. I'll never deal with them again. You know, and that's how strict I am in terms of my own design and build style and quality. Is it's got to be good, man. And you know, this was a big undertaking. You know, it's not just, you know, to take two vehicles and create one. That's a pretty big job. And Code 504 developed and designed a kit, both technically and from a quality standpoint, that does it to the T. And that is, you know, that's pretty solid, man. When you can take two vehicles, make them one, and make it perfect, that's pretty solid.
Interesting perspective, Bub. You're taking two and making one.
Yeah, it's,
and
I mean,
hitting 100% mark.
Right. I mean, that's pretty key. And to do that on a mass production level is even more. It's not like it's a one-off build. It's a it's mass production. They've given that to the world. So, you know, that's something to be pretty proud of.
Jimmy Dolan has a question for you. He says, can I tune my 2015 GMC Denali 6.2 liter? The answer to that's yes, right, Bub?
Yes.
Okay. So, Jimmy, yes, you can. You're welcome to call in 714-242-5166, and you can talk to Bub personally about that. He'll talk to you more about it. 714-242-5166. McKenzie, Chris, I was watching, I was monitoring social media last night after I got off the phone with Paul Sr., and I was noting how many people are doing these conversions across the United States. There's a gentleman and his son who are doing one in their driveway, and I really wanted him to call in because why do you laugh on that, Bub?
Hopefully it's not on the hill.
Yeah, hopefully it's not on a hill, exactly, or going downhill, right? The attention that this build that Bub has done has gotten has been phenomenal, all the way down to a father and son. At 5:30 this morning, I was emailing back with him or Facebooking back with him because his son's in Washington and he's in Georgia. I wanted him to call in and have that technical conversation with Bub. What do you feel about that? You're bringing a family together over a product.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's like my dad and I building one as well, but the fact that we can go out and bring the family together and have them create something on their own, something that they're going to enjoy for years to come. And Chris, I think that was the idea that you guys had.
Well, it's always been the whole concept behind it. I enjoyed growing up just like Bubba and Tom do, father and son. My dad taught me everything I know. And then after I just kind of took it from that and started learning more and I just, like a sponge, kind of soaked it up. But
yep.
To see everybody be able to take our concept of our kit and build it as a family project, that's even more powerful.
And you know what, Chris? What really struck me is not only that father-son bond, okay? For him and his You know, the two of them, Paul Sr. and his sons, Bub and I as a father and son team, all successful people, man, all people who care about being together, even under the worst of conditions, you know, and moving forward. Let's face it, building something like this is very challenging. Building it on a driveway, working around the weather, working around, neighbors who will certainly complain about there being a project going on in the driveway. You know, that says a lot, doesn't it? Don't you feel the pride in that?
Well, most definitely. I mean, and our family's been that way as well. Like last night, you know, Mackenzie was kind of wondering if I was going to make it here on time, you know, and having about an hour and a half sleep last night. My son and I working on his race car, you know, he runs dirt.
Right on.
And so we right last night getting it together. So it's not just the hot rods and the street rods we do. It's a family thing. Chad and I is working hard on trying to get his stuff ready. And that's the beauty about all this.
Wow, man. Very, very cool. Bob, I want to go back. I want to talk to address one of the very technical things that we touched on yesterday's show, and that was the steering column setup.
Mm-hmm.
I was blown away at watching you put that together, because as I was watching you from the back of the vehicle measure with your eye, it has a laser in it, man. I'm sorry, it does. You were bending down. I captured it with the camera. As I do, I love photographing your face. I love photographing your eye. I like catching what's in your mind.
You're not the only one.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you. And it's because of those Tyrannosaurus Rex arms or something.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, that's what it is. No, it's a long shaft. It's the 8-foot shaft, wasn't it?
21 inch or something. You said.
That's what it was. But I love to capture your eye as it's engaging the material. Okay, the metal or the wood, right? And I can clearly capture that thought on film.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were looking at the back of the BEM Code 504 S10 conversion, you said, Dad, the side of this is off by about 3/8 of an inch. I thought, 3/8 of an inch? Jesus Christ, I couldn't even see that. Then you went and pulled out the tape and taped it.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, you were dead on, man. 3/8 of an inch, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the technicality. And then you moved your way around to the front. You said, you know, I'm going to do something that hasn't been done yet.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that steering column design.
Yeah, man. So, you know, this goal, right, with this build, this was more or less a budget build for our client. It wasn't $100,000 build. If you could easily take it and get it up that far that fast if you really went stupid on this thing, you know, especially depending on, you know, upholsteries and paint and, you know, your drivetrain, your platform, whatever the heck it is you're using. You know, that number could get stupid really fast. This was a fairly tight budget build, and one that had to stay very close to not the whole patinaed, like rusted out, super vintage beat up look, but the more of the, like, quote unquote original look. And like I mentioned, this client thought that this thing was, for the most part, all original, you know, something that his dad had, and then it got passed down to him. So there's a little sentimental value there too, to the build. So he wanted it to retain that, like, super stock 1953 look. Not a problem. Even when it comes down to, like, for example, wheels and tires on the car, you know, that was one of the things people had asked us about is, you know, what's the plan for the wheels and tires, or why do they look crooked in the picture, right? So basic. I've already explained that 20 different times, but I always have to keep doing it for some people out there. What you're working with is something that you want to keep vintage. You want to make it look stock. Well, today's world is fairly simple. You've got two different vehicles. You've made one, the S10, a much narrower chassis than the original C3100s. So you have to either, you know, one of two things, depending on your wheel and tire combo, you know, run a 2.5-inch billet spacer, whatever it is you're trying to do to bump it out so that the factory wheels will sit, you know, flush with body line.
But you didn't want to do that.
No. Or you can order in a custom set of, you know, built one-off wheels for it in this case to keep, you know, to keep and retain that original vintage 47 to 54 pickup truck look. Do a set of steely wheels. You paint them red so they match this truck. And then it's done. You buy them with the correct offside or backside spacing you want, push them out, get whatever width you want, maybe nines, maybe tens on the back, and then you just throw your tires to it and it's going to look freaking beautiful, super vintage, but totally modern, you know, power steering, power disc brakes, everything you can imagine, the V8, the 700R4, 4-speed automatic. So it's going to be a really fun truck and build once it's done.
And Bub, when it came to this steering, you said, I've got that. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Chris, Mackenzie, what do you guys usually do in terms of steering for these vehicles?
What we usually do there is, you know, I did a column is probably the number one most used aftermarket column, and we're sellers of those. We do make a retrofit kit if you want to save your original column. We do make that. Like Bubba was saying, there's a lot of different directions you can go.
And Bub, one of the things you said yesterday during the show, during the daily live stream, was that most people would default to the I did it setup or the Flaming
yeah.
River.
Any sort of aftermarket, you know, column, a lot of people would go tilt, you know, a lot of people doing this kind of build, maybe converting it over completely, you know, and doing kind of like a street rod style where they would do, you know, maybe a painless 12 volt, you know, 18 circuit harness setup in it.
When you say 18 circuit harness, what does that mean?
I'm just talking about a fuse panel and wiring system. That's all I'm talking about in terms of lighting, electrical, engine, radio, you know, that, you know, gauges, everything like that. So I'm just talking about an electrical circuit. And this one, you know, you could add into it, you know, you could add in things like if you put in an aftermarket tilt column, you could add in that factor of turn signals, hazard switch, tilt, you know, you can add in all that modern stuff and you can have a modern style column that you could put on any sort of, you know, aftermarket steering wheel on and make it super, super easy to, you know, really upgrade the look of that interior. Probably the way 90% of the industry would go if they did this conversion. This one, however, the client wanted to, again, stay as original as possible. And that was a tricky one when it came to how do you take a factory column that is, you know, a one-piece setup into the original gearbox on it, modify it, alter it, and then retain that original wheel and total stock look inside.
How did you do that?
You just cut it up.
Cut it and weld it. When you saw me with the welder in my hand, did you run?
No. I mean, you didn't even plug it into the wall, so I wasn't too worried about it. You weren't going to get too far.
That's why I didn't get any sparks?
No.
Now I got it figured out. Okay.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the forward progression of code 504, right? What are some of the things, Chris McKenzie, that we're going to be seeing in the new upcoming packages? Will there be tools available with these kits? For example, will there be a Bubba style kind of steering setup? So in other words, the way that Bub went about and modified the factory steering so that it complemented the aftermarket S10 steering gearbox, you know, will those things, will we start seeing the evolution of those things come into the packages, making it a complete one-stop buy if that's what the end user would like to see?
Yeah, so that idea was great. And, you know, Chris and I hadn't thought about that previously of tool packages. Like you've got, you know, we've got our brake line kit. Okay, what if yeah. customers don't have the proper bending tools or the cutter or, you know, flex mm-hmm. tools? So I'm kind of going through and looking at the products we have here and seeing, okay, what tools do we use and what tool packages can I put together? You know, you've got mm-hmm. your cutoff wheel, your grinder, air compressor, you know, those types of things that you're going to need to prepare that chassis, a simple mm-hmm. drill bit. Things like that. So I've kind of been working on trying to get a few of those things together here and then, you know, kind of get them approved here. And maybe, you know, there could be something in the future here where I could be doing tools when guys get those kits as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bob.
I think that's a great idea, McKenzie, is, you know, to build a package that, you know, let's face it. I mean, this is it takes some serious skill set, some time and some labor. You know, to go through and do this kind of swap and to do it correctly, most importantly. But you know, tooling is everything. You know, something that could take 60 hours could take 100 if you don't have the right tools. And you know, a lot of people will sit and mess around with stuff like that, not having a good drill bit. You could drill a hole for 5 minutes, you could drill it for 12 seconds. So it's all about just having the right tooling. And I think that's a great idea. Is, you know, packaging up, you know, maybe 10 4-inch cutoff discs and, you know, cutoff wheels, or, you know, just putting a whole package together and getting as close and tight as possible to, you know, hey, here's kind of everything for an extra $500, whatever it may be, whatever that fallout is. You know, maybe here's a step bit, here's a, you know, your 3/8 drill bit, here is a 1/2-inch drill bit, you know, just some basics to get people going, I think is a great idea.
A step bit meaning what, Bub?
So it's like a tapered drill bit that they're super, super sharp, man. I love using them, but you know, once you've created a pilot hole with a, you know, 1/8-inch, whatever it is you're starting with, you can literally use a step bit that is, you know, cone shaped, tapered, and it just allows you to step up individually each size, almost essentially through every size drill bit available, but you're just doing it quickly. You're not having to, you know, swap out bits all the time. It's a very quick adjustment. They do even leave like a little chamfered edge on your hole, which looks great. I love that look when it's done.
Wow. Right on, man.
Yeah.
So Mackenzie, you have started kind of looking at the potential of putting together these tool packages. I guess you could speak to Bubba himself, you know, offline, have sidebars and you know, I've certainly documented the entire build with pictures so we can look at the physical tooling that was involved with that. I think that's a great idea because as I've watched the people respond on social media to this build, many people have shared what they're doing, and a lot of them are putting aftermarket wheels and tires, setting the stance on the frame, doing a lot of preliminary work. So some foresight would be thrown into that, which is, Bub, that's right up your alley. You always look down the road and shotgun the approach. Mm-hmm. Some foresight could be put into that in developing these potential packages, correct?
Yeah, most definitely. One of the things that we're doing is we're bundling up things. We're listening to our customers. Yep. You know, if they tell us they want to drop it, we have different drop kits. It's going as far as we're going to make code file for that one-stop shop. We're working on front of the engine department stuff right now as far as pulleys and belts and brackets. So we know that this is what we mock up. This is what it works. You can get it in black. You can get it in chrome. That stuff's going to be coming out. Like I said, we're going to make this where it's going to end up being so easy. It's one part number. Everything's going to be in the box. You got to be able to start that at 8 o'clock Saturday morning. By 5 o'clock, he's done, ready to go back in the house and doing something else later.
So, Bub, one of the questions that somebody had asked me, and I wanted to save that for the show, it was on social media. They had asked, will we be selling the frames for this conversion?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to defer that to Chris and Mackenzie because we have decided we would like to carry this product line based on the quality of it and be a retailer and dealer of the product. Mm-hmm. So Chris, Mackenzie, what are the thoughts of does the future hold a potential prefab frame that comes ready to drop ship to your door like an Art Morrison chassis?
Yes, we're working on that now. We actually do that now where it's powder sandblasted, powder coated. It's built to your specs as far as suspension, what you'd like to have. If it's leaf spring, triangulated four bar, you tell us what engine transmission combination you're doing. We set it up where you get it shipped to your doorway and you're ready to put your body on now. We would love to have you guys as dealers and be able to do that down there for us as well. The southern part of the United States is very strong, great, great people. And I'll tell you what, sometimes we just can't build it even fast enough.
Well, and to your point, I think, Bub, you can kind of vouch for this. To your point, Chris, the South Florida area is notorious for two things. Phenomenal weather, which makes car shows on Christmas Day, New Year's Day. These people are. I mean, I'm telling you, there'll be car shows tomorrow on Easter Day. At every mall, at you wouldn't believe it. And on top of that, money. And money's not a dirty word, my friend. It's not a dirty word. People worked all of their lives in the cold, in the Northeast, throughout the United States to position themselves for retirement, and the money moved here. And I'm okay to say that. And it shows in the quality of life here, in the roads here, in the education system in here, you know, in the vehicles that are driven here, period. Bub, what do you say?
It's stupid, dude.
What's that?
Just the rides that you see here. I mean, you pull up to a gas station, there's like 27 Lamborghinis all valued at $675 each, just sitting there.
Absolutely. And that's the way these people roll here. Now, you know, Bub and I have been blessed enough to be on tour all over the world, okay, because of what we do. Beverly Hills, California doesn't come close to this. Los Angeles doesn't come close to this. Can you name any other place in the world that comes close to this, Bub?
No. I mean, maybe Dubai.
Maybe that's Dubai. That's a good point. Maybe Dubai, man.
Yeah.
That's a good point, yeah. But they don't have the beautiful, you know, the oceans and like that. Your cars are sandblasted there as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, Chris and Mackenzie, you could do – and we'd be honored to partner up with you guys, especially after knowing Bub's take on the build and produce these things. I think you could put some SEMA winners out on the road here. No questions in my mind.
Oh, I agree, too. I think it'd be a great combination between all the experience both companies could offer each other. You bet. And then roll that over and offering that to our customer base.
Well, hey, I'll definitely say this. So yesterday morning, right? So my goal was yesterday morning to
literally on my calendar was finishing up. I shaved in the firewall of this 3100, so welded in any hole that wasn't necessary for this build, just to clean it up and then get it ready for a complete undercoating. So got this thing ready, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and just – my goal today is just throw the engine in here, right? I swear that might be the fastest engine installation I've ever put in my entire life. Maybe like a whopping 1 minute,
yeah,
31 seconds.
Yeah, we're gonna
like
talk
I
about
just
that.
Hoisted it up, lowered it in, put the brackets to it, and it fell right into place. And that's I'm telling you, might be the easiest and professionally done kit that I've ever had.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that as well. Good morning to Mark Hoffman. Mark Hoffman is the VEM dirt track driver. Mark, I need to have you talking with Chris. His son does dirt track driving as well. The VEM number 12 had seventh place. Man, he tore it up last year, Chris. If you guys are into the dirt track, my guy out there, Mark Hoffman in Maryland, you guys need to talk. I'm going to put you guys in touch with each other. Man, if we could do some suspension work or some chassis work, Bub, because the BEM car is a Monte Carlo, correct?
Yeah, Monte Carlo, which, yeah, by the way, full-frame chassis, man, those things can just be absolute beasts when built right, dude.
Yeah, and Mark, Chris, takes no prisoners. He stole it all last year, right? Seventh place last night due to the temp drop, and wind dried up the track. So the start of the season is seventh place in points. Who cares, man? He'll be first in the points at the end of the season anyways, right?
I'd throw a set of slicks on there and go to town on that dirt.
I just put bias plies on that son of a bitch for me.
It's not going to matter for you anyways, no matter what's on it.
It's going to wreck it.
For sure.
How about that?
You'll just be sliding around the wall.
Good morning to the stunning.
You know those plastic cars that you get when you're really, really, really young, and they've got the two metal aluminum contact things on the track that you click this track together, you put the car down, you squeeze the trigger of the little gun, and it just goes round and round and round.
Mine get off the track. It's
so yours, like, you needed a barrier around yours every time, and it's like your car would just stay riding that edge. Now, me, I had so much fun with those when I was younger. My goal was to make the cars go as fast as they could, but sideways through corners. So what would I do?
Tokyo
on all
drifting.
Of my corners, I would put a bunch of oil on the corners.
Did you really?
That's what I did.
Good morning to the stunningly beautiful Robin. Good morning, America. Ha ha. And Tom and Bob. I know, babe. We're a train wreck. I get it. I understand. So, yes, Chris, I would love for you and Mark Hoffman to talk. You guys could do some real strong, strong dirt track development from a frame perspective. I think that'd be a great idea as well, man.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, I think, you know, that's the neat thing about it is, you know, anybody, no matter if it's your street rider, you're a racer, you have to be open-minded. You have to and talk to other people to get that knowledge.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll tell you, Mark has been doing this for a lot of years, man. He's a wonderful, wonderful dude, very hometown-oriented boy, and his heart and soul is always in the right place, and his build style's quality, 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 and he goes out there and he wins, man. He takes no prisoners. He's a different boy when he gets in that seat, and there's no second place. He's going to go, you know, and that's how you have to be if you want to succeed.
Well, it's like us being with Cool 504. You know, we knew when Dad and I sat down and we decided this is what we were going to start building, this is what we're going to design, we were going to be, our goal was to be the number one go-to shop when it comes to conversion kits on S10s, and that's where it started, and we just keep driving even harder, developing more and more stuff all the time, more and more new kits. It's great to have, you know, the experience like Bubba there to be able to put these things together on another aspect of another builder and getting their opinions. Your opinions of it is fantastic. So, yeah, I think, you know, like I said, you're going to see more and more from both of us, both parties here.
I think so. And again, for you to get a grade of 9 out of Bub, that's solid, Chris. I mean, that is solid. I've been working for him for 15, 16 years now, and I've watched his progression from you know, basic bending of metal and fabrication to where he is today and what it took to get him there and the razor's edge he stood on to get there. And that progression is what takes you to number one. And that's,
I'll tell you what, though, I can bend some nasty lines, dude. When it comes to like steel and aluminum line bending and tubing,
sure.
Oh my God.
Yep.
It's pretty stupid.
Yep. Bub, you are good. Maybe we need to start the 405.
504
dirt track style. Yeah, that'd be great, man. Absolutely, man. That's a good
idea. All right, so Chris, McKenzie, let me ask you this, right? So this was the first swap that I did utilizing Code 504's product line, which was absolutely great, by the way. We've already discussed that. In terms of the Ford and the Mopar line, So from that era, the 40s, 50s, what is available?
Right now you've got, on the Ford side, we've got kits that are going from 1948 to 1956 on the Ford pickup side. The passenger car kit is actually running from 41 to 48. We are currently in the process of working on a 40 and 41 Ford pickup kit. On the Dodge side, we've only got the sport bed, and that's going to be from 48 to 56 on the Dodge pickups.
So all from that same era and all utilizing the standard S10 chassis.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
So let me ask you this then. So knowing that, right? So now knowing that, you know, because GM-based, you know, platforms, the 3100, 47 to 54 dropping on an S10 chassis, easy for the end user out there to throw in whatever sort of small block or LS series platform, keep it all true to its GM roots, right? If at the at the end of the project. So what about, let's say your, you know, your Dodge line, the 48 to 56 or whichever year range you said that was, you know, dropping that in, right? So putting that Mopar setup, the cab down on an S10 chassis, right? So Mopar going onto a GM chassis, what would you then offer in terms of motor mounts, transmission mounts to either, would you have to run a small block GM style platform in terms of its powertrain, or could you do a set of mounts, engine and trans for Mopar related engines, maybe a 383?
Yeah, what we do is, and again, I should have thought about that and offered it. We do offer it on the Mopar side. We offer a small block Mopar 318 up to 360. It'll take any of this transmissions. On the Ford side, we offer any of the small block Ford running to 289, 302, 351 Windsor. So you tell us what you're wanting to put it when you order it, and we'll put the correct motor mounts into it.
All right. So that makes it super easy, man. So for guys out there that may not have a Chevrolet-based pickup truck, C3100 series, for example, and by the way, there's a lot of great Dodges out there that are on the streets. And I know, man, it's definitely something that a lot of those guys ask for. They ask for, you know, conversions to independent front suspension, to power steering, to, you know, disc brakes, to, you know, V8 swaps. You know, a lot of guys ask for that kind of stuff. And it's great that Code 504 does offer not only the kit to swap that body down onto a modern chassis that allows you not only the function and the added benefit of all those key upgrades of, you know, the disc brakes, the power steering, the modern style suspension on it, but also the fact that you can also, you know, retain whatever sort of, you know, matching running gear that you want. So Ford to Ford and, you know, Mopar to Mopar, Chevy to Chevy. So that's great because it's a lot of times out there you see that some guys will take like a Ford pickup. We had one in here not too long ago, a Ford pickup, and have a Chevrolet motor in it with a Mopar transmission, a GM rear on what the heck kind of nose chassis.
Yeah, you can't do that, man.
It just ends up being a mess.
Yeah, it does.
So it's really nice that you can you guys offer that in a way where people can just buy, place the order, tell you what they're looking for, and drop everything in that they want to run.
Hey, how about this? Mark Hoffman says, very good idea. You need to build a replica. Think about what he's saying here for a second, guys. You need to build a replica of a Sanford and Son truck on an S10 chassis. Send it to Maryland. I'll advertise the hell out of it. You know what he's saying there? That when you really think about the way Mark is thinking, if you took that style truck, built it, you would have something that would draw a lot of attention simply because of the notoriety of the show, which still airs today.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, what's neat about it, we see a lot of the pictures and people are sending back to us all the time. Some of them, like you were saying, being finished completely out. Some of them are just retrofits. We've actually sold a kit to out in California. They're actually redoing the Karate Kid pickup on the 41 to 46, which we offer a kit for that pickup as well. And they're actually wanting to put that truck where it's more friendly, usable. And so they've got one of our kits going underneath that old truck.
Wow.
Let's do a Bubba Edition Code 504 Sanford and Son truck.
But we got to have junk in the back.
Is that like junk in the trunk?
Technically, but it's just a bed.
Oh, junk in the bed trunk.
Yeah.
Mackenzie, Chris, thank you for joining us today on the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast. This is only the beginning of the marriage between the two. We are at the top of the hour. I want to talk to you guys on Monday if we could. I've got a conference call at 10. I think we've got, I'd like to jump on the phone in the afternoon at 1, and we'll do some closing, close up details on this particular build we're going to jump into. How's that sound to you guys?
Sounds great.
Yeah, that sounds great, guys.
Right on. Guys, thanks again for joining us. Thank you for being part of this. Thank you for being part of 4 episodes of the show with us. We love you guys. We want you to have just an amazing Easter out there, and we thank you for joining us today, all right?
Hey, thanks, guys. You too. We'll talk to you next time.
Happy Easter, guys.
Right on, guys. Stay tuned for a big announcement we're getting ready to make right now before we sign off. Good night. Hey, Bub, I want to jump into this side of it, Bub. There is a big announcement. We do change show platforms. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been waiting for this official announcement. I'm going to turn it over to Bub. Let him talk to you about it. We begin next Saturday, I believe. Next Saturday. Bub, I'm going to turn this over to you because it is official and things are ready to go at this point.
Yeah, man. So everybody out there, stay tuned. We have officially signed on and are completely set up and 100% operational over on Podcast One.
Yes.
Which is going to be an incredible reach for our listening audience. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. A lot of great celebrities and special guests coming in to do features with us every show. So you will want to stay tuned for them.
Bub, to follow up on the heels of that, I'm very proud of you, Bub. We could not have done it without what you do and who you are. I'm only the guy who puts it out there. You're the guy who God gave the talent to build it. Gives me chills. We are moving to Podcast One, ladies and gentlemen. It is the biggest platform in the world with such known names as Shaquille O'Neal, Laura Ingraham, Dr. Drew. Who else is over there, Bub? Adam Carolla is there. The one and only iconic Eddie Trunk is there, and Eddie Trunk will be on the show. We're going to have the Gibbons brothers from ZZ Top, of course, the senior, Paul Senior, and his family will be regulars on the show. It's big, guys. It starts, we'll be leaving. We will still be coming to you live right here from the broadcast studios at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports every Saturday from 9 to 10. However, it will now be pushed out through the brand new Podcast One. Podcast One was founded by Norm and Gray, who were the original innovators and founders of Westwood One Radio, ladies and gentlemen. These guys are serious, serious moguls in the industry. Westwood One, as you know, is the largest syndication firm in the world for radio. They are now doing it for Podcast One, if that gives you an idea of the enormity of this particular blessing that we've got laid at our feet. Bob, I want to thank you. 16 years it took us to do it, but we couldn't have done it without your perseverance and continuing to hit the ball every time you stood up to the plate, man.
All right, I gotta go to the gym, dude.
Are you really? I'm going out with the Marlins orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Wade Van Sice. He's gonna meet us here. We're gonna go to the KTM dealership, Bub, and who knows what'll come home with us.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bub, we'd like to wish you a happy Easter, right, Bub?
Happy Easter. That's tomorrow, bro.
That's correct. Ladies and gentlemen, happy Easter, all of us, from to all of you around the world, from all of us here at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. This episode has been brought to you by bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Visit us online. The Code 504 products are going up for sale, and I'm telling you right now, you're going to see a lot, ladies and gentlemen, from Bub and Chris McKenzie and myself, technically evolve on that over the next couple years. Look for some big stuff to come out of that crew. I think that's going to be pretty amazing stuff. I love business development and I love the evolution. Monday, we'll join you live at 11 a.m., ladies and gentlemen, from the main build facility here at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports for the number one rated internationally syndicated daily live stream. We'll be talking to you about something really cool there. Let's reach out to touch somebody's life in a very positive way today, ladies and gentlemen. Let's open the door for somebody who's got their hands full. I told Senior last night, I put a guy's bike in the middle of the street because he had it right on the middle of the sidewalk as an elderly couple, 83 years old, and a walker walking up trying to get to the front door, man. Be careful of those people out there, man. A small trip could break their hip, you know? Let's open the door for those elders. Let's feed somebody who's hungry, and let's put a pair of shoes on somebody's feet who have holes in them. Happy Easter, everybody, to all of you from here at the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports family. Bub, last cue.
Just keep on doing it.
Keep on doing it. Bubba style. There it is, Bub. Take us out of the bottom of this show.